Thank you, praise team, for leading us to lift up our voices to the Lord in worship. That's what we're doing this morning as we worship the Lord through song. Now, let's continue our worship by lifting up God's word to our minds this morning. I want to remind you, the ushers again, that we're going to do communion after the message today. But today is part three. Let me get all my notes here together. Today is part three and the concluding message on our focus on peace or living for peace specifically. So let's open our Bibles to really a starting point this morning. We're going to open it up to Romans 12. We're going to look at verses 14 through 21, kind of a starting point for us today as we continue and conclude our message here. I also would like you to grab your outline. You have an outline in your bulletin, and it's I've been keeping the front the same. That's kind of the introduction, and then we've been adding things to the backside too of it. And good to follow along in an outline, kind of helps you with some verses there that you can make note of and mark down for maybe they spoke to your heart about something in your life, or you would like to look them up later, or you know, however God would use his word in your life. And also, let's pull out our children's sermon notes. Those are in your bulletin, so let's pull those out. Everybody, let's pull them out. Let's get the kids and the adults, because I'm going to use these today, the children's sermon notes, as part of the message. Interact with us through that, just to encourage us again in God's word. So we got our we're opening our Bibles to Romans 12 verses 14 through 21. We got our outline out, and go ahead, kids, grab your sermon notes. And like I said, I'm going to have you guys help me on some things today. Will you guys help me? Big smiles over here. You're going to help me, right? We're going to go through God's word. We're going to write some things down, and use that. So in our two previous messages on peace, we've established what we're looking at. I won't go over too much of that. God in his word to us definitively has told us to live in peace. Four times in the New Testament, a command of God, the exact same words, live in peace. In our study, we have been answering the question, so what does it mean to live in peace? If God's going to speak to us in our lives and speak to the body of Christ in the church and talk to us, and four times in the New Testament command us to live in peace, we want to understand what that means. And so we've been digging into that to understand what God is talking about and what he's asking us to do and what he's done in our life. We've been going through all the different kind of things, and we've been answering that question. What does it mean to live in peace? So if you look at your children's sermon notes, let me read those to you. Now, I didn't update a couple of it there, so I'll update as I read. In our message today, we will be talking about peace for a third time. Not a second time, a third time. Our focus is specifically about living in peace. 2 weeks ago, not last week, we focused on living in peace with God. That's what our first focus was. God has provided a way for us to be reconciled, restored relationship with him. The provision God made was through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and our faith in the Lord or in Jesus. This believing in Jesus restores our relationship with God and puts our lives in harmony with God. And now we seek to live in harmony, unity, oneness, peace with God always, with God's ways shown through his word. In our second message last week, our focus was on living in peace and harmony with each other, with fellow believers. In our salvation, God has made the believers in Christ in harmony and in unity with each other. So we are doing our very best to live that way following God's word. Today's focus will be on living in peace with all people. And that's what God is talking about in one of the commands. So from our message today, what ways are we to seek to live in peace with all people? So, kids, I'm going to want you to answer that, and I'll ask you those questions. In what ways are we supposed to live in peace with all people? This is God's word and what he's talking to us about. So the first message was we looked at being at peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in our salvation, he brought us into a peace, a unity, a harmony, a oneness in Christ. We've been reconciled back to God, Romans 5, 1 and 2. And we are to embrace God's way for us, and we're to embrace the truth of God's word to us, so we live in peace, unity, harmony, and oneness with God. Simply, Colossians 3, 1 through 10 said simply, paraphrasing, since our lives are hidden in Christ, we are to consider our earthly life to dead to our immorality, impurity, evil desires, idolatry. These are the reasons why God's wrath is coming one day when the Lord does return, and we once walked in them, but we're to put them all aside. And we are to live in this new life, this new self that we are in Christ. And that new life desires to live in harmony with God and his word. That's what we looked at the first week. And so that's what it meant to live in peace, to become in peace with God and to live in peace and harmony and unity with the Lord. In our second message, we saw in our salvation, God has brought us believers into a unity, a harmony, a oneness, a reconciled relationship with each other. Ephesians 2, 14 and 15, we saw that Christ broke down the dividing wall. He made the two into one new man. He established peace. He reconciled us in one body to God, and he put to death the enmity. And we are to embrace God's way, God's word for us, embrace the truth of his word, so we live in unity, harmony, oneness, which we have in Christ with each other. Simply, Ephesians 4, 2, and 3, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what we looked at in the first 2 weeks, we saw the relational aspect of peace that's meant for us as believers with God and believers with each other, and we are to live in peace and harmony and unity and oneness. That's the basis of what God has established in our salvation by the grace of God. This is what he's done. And we looked at all that. Now there's one relationship that's left, right? All right, how about all people? God doesn't just command us to live in unity and harmony and peace with God and his word. He doesn't just command us to live in peace and harmony and unity and oneness and reconciliation with the believers. He says, okay, now I want you to live in peace with all people. So he includes the lost. So that's what we're going to cover today. So in our lives, we're seeing the three focuses here, what we've been doing, and we're walking through this. This is good. This is encouraging. This is God and putting some defining things on how we're living in the generality and in just the life application of relationships. But the one left is we're to live in peace with all others. There's only two kinds of people in the world when it comes to God: believer, non-believer, saved, not saved. That's it, those two kinds. So if you look at Romans 12, we'll focus in on verse 18. Are you there with me in Romans 12? Let's look at verse 18 and look at what Paul is writing after all of Romans 1 through 11, the chapters and all the great things in there. Now he really starts to get into application. And when he gets to verse 18 in chapter 12, he says this. Let's focus in. Here's God's command to us. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That's all humanity. That's all people. That's just not male. That's male and female. God wants us to be at peace as far as it depends on you, if possible, to be at peace, live in peace with all men. To live in peace with all people, believer, non-believer. So we know that the definition here of peace is different than what we've been focusing on for 2 weeks. Because there is no way for us to live in harmony and unity and oneness and sameness as a non-believer. We learned that in Ephesians 2. There's no way for us to live in unity and harmony and oneness with somebody that is unsaved. We're just juxtaposed against each other. There's an enmity there that God has to break down the wall through salvation. For the believer, the non-believer cannot be in harmony, oneness, unity, in a spiritual, eternal perspective. He cannot be. In fact, actually, believers to non-believers are in disharmony, unreconciled, separated by enmity in God's eternal purpose. We saw that in Ephesians 2. So what is God talking about here? That's what we want to understand, because he includes all people, believers, non-believers, everybody. God wants us to, if it's possible, it depends on us, to live in peace, to be at peace with everybody. Doesn't matter, tall, short, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter European, African, from Mexico, doesn't matter. This is an important concept in the Bible on how we represent. We're looking at it today. We are going to be marked in this life. God has marked us, and that we reflect who we are in Christ by the way we love one another. This is part of it, peace. This is loving everyone. This is being at peace with everyone. This is an important aspect of Christianity in the world. So then what is God talking about? We want to look into this, dig into this. What is he talking about? So God commands us here to be at peace or live at peace with all people. The meaning has to be different. Yes, we're to live in harmony, oneness, and unity with believers and with God and his word and all that. This is something different he's talking about. This is talking about the animosity, the conflict that happens between all people. As far as it depends on us, if possible, we're to make peace in that. That's what he's talking about. This is a command of God to us. God's just saying live in peace with all people is to live in no dissension, no offense, no war, no strife. We're to reconcile, to forgive. Don't be offensive. Don't cause strife or dissension or conflict. And when you do repent, that's for all relationships, no matter how or what the people are like. This is God's talking to us about the church. When chapter 12 of Romans is really getting down to the nitty-gritty as we're going to live as the body of Christ and believers and what we're going to be identified with and how we are going to interact with each other. And God says right in here that we're going to interact with the world, that as far as it depends on us, we're going to live in peace with humanity. That includes ISIS. Oh, my God, no. As far as it depends on us, we're not to be causing dissension and strife and offense. As far as it depends on us, this is the way God wants us to go in this life. Now, being careful about what I said with that, but even those that are against Christianity and God, we're not to be offensive to, in a sense. And I'll explain that more. Because it's conditional. Look at verse 18 with me. Look what it says. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace or live in peace with all men. It's conditional. If possible, as far as it depends on you. Sometimes it's not possible because it depends on them. It's not possible to be at peace. There's strife or there's going to be conflict or dissension. There's going to be offense because it's them, not you, as a follower of God and God's truth. I do all I can not to cause dissension, strife, conflict, or offense with all people. Do all I can. But when I do, I want to confess, I want to repent, I want to go to them and reconcile. But I will not, listen to this, I will not compromise God's truth to be at peace with them. This is important. You guys need to listen to this. This is the word of God to us today, and it's important. This is the crux, this is the battle, this is the challenge in the body of Christ. God's word here isn't saying, be at peace at all costs and adulterate the word of God to be in it. Because what's more important is that they like you or there's no conflict. Listen, we are to do all that we can not to cause conflict, strife, dissension, and when we do, to repent and seek reconciliation, but we cannot compromise God's truth. I am to share the gospel. The only way to salvation, faith in Jesus Christ, it may cause strife, conflict, and offense, but I cannot change that. Can you? Can we shut our mouths? It causes conflict, Pastor Ken. It causes people strife. They don't like us. There's an animosity, and we want to be at peace with all people. Can we just not talk about Jesus? Can we just not tell them about, they have some sort of faith that their God is this and their understanding of that? Absolutely not, because the gospel is the only way to heaven and the rest of the way is to hell. And how do you really love anybody by telling them that what they're thinking is going to get them to the place where God wants them to go when you know in your own heart all it leads is to destruction and wrath of God? See, so in our lives, we're responsible to share the gospel. Are we not? Come on, church. Aren't you responsible each and every day that God would prompt your heart for you to share that the only way to be reconciled back to God, to be at peace with God, to have the harmony and unity God wants us to have, to be in eternity with God is through Jesus Christ alone? That may cause conflict. It absolutely does in the world. We don't adulterate that or change that. We speak the truth in love, and let me in love be emphasized. But we cannot change the gospel to be at peace with people. It's not possible. That's important. That's important for us to understand. There's a thing, there's an understanding here when Paul is saying that, when he's asking that or telling us to do this. Let me tell you, it's the same in our relationships. Listen to me. That's sin, and that's not honoring God. And I want to come alongside, and you want to come alongside me, and we want to come alongside each other and talk about our sanctification and our growth in the Lord, and we're going to be patient, we're going to be compassionate, we're going to be loving and caring. But this isn't the righteousness of God. This isn't what God is wanting us to do in our life. No, we can't be in that, or whatever that might be, as we are people that God is sanctifying. That means none of us have arrived, that God has to work in each one of our lives and needs to, and you know that He needs to. And then people come alongside and they say, God wants to work here. That's, to be like that is offensive and God doesn't want us to be, may cause strife, offense, conflict. But we do not adulterate God's word or not follow God's word, what He's called us to be in the body of Christ, so we can maintain a peace between one another. Because that's not real peace. And that's not what He's calling about here. That's not following God's word or changing God's truth to be at peace with a person. It's not possible. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. So you see, me and you have a responsibility not to cause an offense or conflict or strife. We all know that. If I offend you, I need to ask for forgiveness. If I've caused some strife or offensive or anything like that, we all know that. We know that to be truth, and I'm responsible for not causing that with all people. But you and me, by the calling of God on this planet from the day you got saved, we have a responsibility of representing the Lord and His Word. And His name and His Word is to be exalted above all things. We're to do that by sharing the gospel and helping each other in our walk with the Lord, calling sin, sin, being patient, kind, gentle, all those things, loving each other in the body of Christ. But you and me are called to do both. We're to be at peace with all men, but we're to admonish, we're to grow the body of Christ, to minister to each other. That's just a reality that what this is about. I want you to look at it this way. Not representing the Lord in His truth is first not living in harmony and unity and peace with God, and not living in peace with His and in harmony with His Word. And secondly, not representing the Lord in His truth is not living in harmony and unity and oneness or peace with each other, believers. Sin causes harm to the harmony with God and with each other. Who cares if it keeps peace with the lost? I don't. If I'm not going to live in harmony and not represent the Lord and not live and honor His Word and all that, who cares if it keeps peace with the lost? I'm not here to try to keep peace like that with the lost. I'm here to give them the hope of the peace that you can have in Christ, and we need to live God's Word. You see what I'm talking about today, you guys? You can smile at me. This is important in the things that we've been learning about what God is talking to us about living in peace. Very important. You are to live in peace and harmony and unity with God and His Word, and you are to live in peace and harmony with God and His people. If that causes someone not to be at peace with you, it's impossible to be. That's as far as you can go. Honor God's Word, not offensive in sharing it. When we are, you know, own up to it, the whole thing, living in oneness with the body of Christ, and you got to leave it up to God. Now, kids, you ready to help me? This commandment falls into context. What we've been talking about falls into context. So let's look at the context, and this context will help us understand. It helps us with our understanding of what God is talking about, what it looks like to live in peace with all people, believers, non-believers. Those are all people. That would cover them all. So look at the context with me. Look what it is. Get your sermon notes out, okay? And we're going to answer the question, kids. I'm going to read it to you, and I want you guys to help me. You can just blurt it out. You can raise your hand. You can holler it, whatever you want. But what ways are we to seek to live in peace with all people? We're going to read God's Word. You guys ready? You got your sermon notes? Okay, I'm going to read verse 14, and you guys help me, and I'll help you along here as we go here, but we're answering the question. So in our message today, and we're looking at Romans 12, we're looking at verse 14, what ways are we to seek to live in peace with all people? Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and not curse. Okay, kids, that's God's word to us. How are we to seek to live in peace with people? It says this, bless those that are mean to you. How do you bless somebody that's mean to you? Come on, kids, help me. Yes. Being nice back. Write that one down, you guys. They weren't nice, but we're going to be nice back, right? Exactly what God is talking about here. Absolutely exactly. Because not everybody's nice, right? Sometimes when we're not nice, huh? And then we ask for forgiveness. But when I'm not nice, it's really helpful when the person that I wasn't nice to helps me and is nice back. But see, God wants us to be at peace with all people. So when someone's not nice to us, we bless them. They're mean, and we be nice back. And then it says, and we do not curse them. That means that we don't use bad words about them. What's that mean? Any of you kids got an answer? So we're nice back, and then what do we not do? Yes. We don't lie about them. Good. We don't lie. We don't talk about them. We don't lie about them. Good. We don't go and tell our friends. Do you know what this person over here in my class, this person, you know, was mean to me. And, you know, let me tell the group of three and how they were mean to me. And basically, that's the idea of cursing them among the other people, talking badly about them. See, that's not being at peace with all people. Adults, you're getting this, right? Right, you're seeing the application in your own life when, you know, with those that persecute you, those that don't like you, those that think you're strange, weird, ugly, whatever it might be, whatever it is, and all that kind of stuff, that don't like you, that are unfair to you, that don't treat you fairly, that don't recognize, whatever that might be. Hey, we don't go around, we are to be at peace with we're going to have to cause any dissension. So when they do that, I bless. I'm just going to be nice. And then I don't curse them. I don't get in the car and tell the radio in a real loud way what I really thought about that person. Anybody ever do that? Don't leave me hanging, okay? You got to deal with your own heart and all that, but here it is. This is what God is. See, he's dealing with your heart, our mind, our things, right? If you're going to be cursing them, it doesn't even have to be in public, right? Oh, man, that dumb. Wow, you're living in peace with people. You're just stirring up dissension in your own heart, thinking about the justice that you should have. This is pretty strong what he's talking about here. All right, kids, ready to go to the next one? You guys help me. This is what's next. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Anybody got an idea what that is? How are we going to be at peace with? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Let me ask you guys. Let's put it this way. When somebody is your classmate and they really did really good on a test, and they're just a math test, right? And they're just excited. Oh, I did so good on the math test and all that. But you got 68%, but they got 92, and they're so excited. What does it say to do with them when somebody succeeds? Come on, kids, help me. What's it say? Be happy for them, right? And Cameron, my grandson here, he's on the Hurricane swim team. There's a little promotion. Ooh. But we've been out there. It's been exciting, great. You know, and here these kids are swimming, and they're incredible, and they're doing well. You know what I've seen? I've seen some of the ones that are under 10. And you see the whole thing. But what I've seen is somebody did well in the race, and one of their race mates said, good job. I'm happy for you. I about fell over. That wasn't me when I was 9, okay? You know, now they have the thing, oh, yeah, we competed, and I did this and that. But they're happy for each other. That's parents teaching the principles of God and what God says, that we want to rejoice with those who rejoice. We all want to win, but it certainly isn't about winning all the time, is it? It's being grateful and happy that other people succeed. And it says all people. Ooh, that gets you, huh? And then weep with those that weep. Kids, what would that be? Somebody doesn't do well. They finish last in the swim race. And they're over there, they're not the happiest thing. How long did it take you? It took me 3 minutes and 19 seconds. And how long was the winner? 34 seconds. And so there's a little down. So, and I'm taking something very simple. But it could be a loss of an animal or a family member or... And somebody said, what does it tell us, kids? What does it tell us to do with them? We're happy when something goes well. What does it tell us, kids? Help me. Weep with those that weep. Tells us to have compassion, right? Right? I'm going to get to why it's telling us all this. But it tells us, you know, when somebody didn't do well, say, oh, man, I'm sorry you didn't do well. I know you tried hard and that kind of thing. Some things go like that, but, you know, I feel sad for you that your fish passed away. Maybe that was it. As we continue on, look what it says in verse 16. It says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. That's really talking about have the same mind toward one another and toward others. It's no impartiality. Kids, this is what this is saying. Whether your classmates or your teammates are really fast or really good at what they're doing, or they're really good in math or not very good in math, whether your classmates are rich or poor or tall or short or belong to another ethnic group, whether they're famous or not famous, whether they have strengths and things that you don't have strengths, whether they're weaker than you are, whether they don't swim as fast as you, whether they don't get as good as math class, you see, it's saying don't look at people impartially. Look at them all the same. See them in all the same way as human beings, as people. And it says this, do not be haughty in your mind, but associate with the lowly. Don't think you're better than them. You know, I don't hang out with them. They're not cool. They're kind of a little different. And God says that that's not really living in peace with people, that I kind of separate myself from them. Now, I understand, you know, life, and I understand in our life that what God is doing is he's working in our... It's like this, you know, they don't like country music. I don't know how I can even talk to them. You know, they're just missing it out in this world. You know, they, you know, we can't be that. We got to associate with people that aren't like us and not see it as that they're not like us. They're just human beings. So we're going to be different. But we don't want to think too highly of ourselves. That's what he's getting to when he's talking about that. Kids, do you understand what I'm saying? You guys, we're not to think we're better than other people. We're to be friendly with them. That's what that means. That helps us in their peace. Now look at verse 17. Kids, help me with this one. What do you see on what it looks like and ways we seek to live to peace with one another? Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. What do you think that means, kids? Never pay back evil for evil. Kind of what you were saying, huh? We don't be mean back when somebody's been mean. When they've done something wrong to us, we don't do it back. Whether they stole our lunch or they took our towel or they didn't let us play in the game that we were in, they didn't include us, and it was mean or evil, we don't do it back to them. We don't shoot back. We don't say, well, you know, I took his lunchbox because he took my towel, and we don't do that. Adults, are you applying this in your life, in the life that you live? And that they cut you off the road, or that they were impatient when they did this, or they weren't fair, or it wasn't this, or it wasn't that, or they were this to you, and it was some way an evil thing. You know, we don't return evil for evil. We don't. That doesn't keep peace. Well, it was evil toward me, and God says, no, you don't return it. You respect what's right in the sight of all men. In the sight of all men, meaning in the sight of what God has put in the heart of man, in the sight of him, it's not right. And you know it. You're to respect it. You see what God's talking about when we're talking about living in peace with all people? He's talking about everything in our life, everything daily in our life. He's talking about our minds, our hearts, taking thoughts captive to the true obedience of Christ. When any temptation comes into our life, we need to recognize, where does God give me the way of escape? Because I know I have a tendency maybe to go this way or that way, like Pastor Craig was praying about. We're to be humble, knowing that God is at work. You and me are to honor what's right, what God says is right. And listen to the rest of the verse. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We're never to take revenge. We're never to do that. That's not making peace. Even if they're our enemy, even if they are against Christianity, even if they persecute us for standing for the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaiming Christ and telling them, no, your way isn't going to lead to eternal life with God. It doesn't reconcile you with it. It's the only way is Jesus Christ. And they don't like that, and they're this. Vengeance isn't ours. We never take revenge. We're not here to be revengeful. We're here to represent Christ and the unity that we have with God and the oneness that we have with each other. And we're to live in peace with all people, reflecting the Lord. And then it says this, do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That means two different things, kids. Listen to this. We're not to let how people mistreat us overcome us or overwhelm our lives. We're not to be overcome by that. We're going to be mistreated in some form or manner. And we're not to let it overcome us. And then the second way is here, and we're not to let wanting to be mean back overwhelm us also. We overwhelm that, we overcome that in our life. By good, we are to respond with good. That's seeking to live with all people. This is what God's teaching. Now look at the front of your bulletin. Now all these three messages go together. This one is, the emphasis is here, but here's really the crux. Look at the front of your bulletin. The front of your bulletin says this. These are the words of Jesus Christ. This is in the Beatitudes. This is in, you know, Sermon on the Mount. This is, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed by God. They're blessed, the people, the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, I want to be identified as a son of God, a child of God. I know you do too. Now, that's what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And it includes what we've been talking about today, living in peace with all people. But I want you to listen to the depth of the word Jesus used for peacemaker. This has been different than all the other words that we've been studying for peacemaker. This is a word that God chose in the Greek language. This is the depth of the meaning of the word when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Here's who is a peacemaker. The one who, having received the peace of God, in his or her own heart brings peace to others. He or she is not simply one who makes peace between two parties, but one who spreads the good news of the peace of God which he or she has received. Blessed are those. Not that we just make peace between people. We want to reconcile and we want to help each other with that. But, you know, in the spectrum of Christianity and what God's doing in the world, that's pretty not the deepest thing in here. Because the depth of what Christ has taken, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be some kinds of shall be called sons of God, is those, because of the peace that we have, the peace of God that we received in Jesus Christ, that our lives became in oneness with him and oneness with each other, and we spread the good news of the peace of God which we are experiencing because of our salvation. That's the work of the church. That's the work of the body of Christ. We're in unity and oneness with God, and that unity and oneness with each other. The whole point of living in peace with all people is to make disciples, to participate in bringing people to the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ so people see God. It may bring conflict, strife, and animosity. But the whole point of it here is for what God is doing in the world and in his providence and in his sovereignty, what he's doing, we are participating in God bringing about true peace between man and God. And that brings true peace between the people of God that live in true peace with God, with each other, holding out or being living in peace with all mankind. We'll close with this. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12:14. And I'm just kind of lightly touching on this, but if you look at Hebrews 12:14, this is going to kind of tie all this together in what we've been talking about today. Because God's Word would want us to understand what it looks like to live in peace with all people for the glory of God, for the purposes of God, for what God is doing in the world, is using us in our lives to hold out the truth of Christ. We are all ambassadors of Christ Jesus. And if you look at Hebrews 12, we're going to look at just verse 14 and going to look at this commandment, this admonishment for the writer of Hebrews, and he's talking to the body of Christ, and this just really fits right in with what we're talking about. Are you there? Hebrews 12:14, look what God's Word says. It says this, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. This is what this is saying. Those are commands of God. Pursue peace with all men. Pursue reconciliation. Pursue restoration. Pursue forgiveness. Pursue conflict resolution. Pursue not being offensive to them. Or all men. And for believers, pursue oneness and unity that we have with God and with each other. We've just looked at that for 3 weeks. We're to pursue that with all men. We pursue not being offensive and reconciling those things and all that with all men. And in believers, it's a depth of it. We're pursuing the oneness that we have in Christ. And with God, we're pursuing the oneness that we have with the Lord and God's Word. So we can understand that. We're to pursue peace with all men, pursue reconciliation, restoration, forgiveness, conflict resolution. If possible, we learned, if it depends on you, be at peace with them. Now, sometimes it's not, but it says this, pursue sanctification. To remind you what sanctification means, that means God's growth and change in you and me, and it's happening each and every day, and it's what Christ is at doing. He's at work in our lives, sanctifying us, the progressive sanctification that we came to the Lord. Now God is working in our life that our behavior, our actions, our life, our walk with the Lord starts to represent more who we are in the Lord and more of what God has done in our life, and we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ in the way we live. We're to be growing in the right way. And we're to pursue that in this life without no one will see the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what he's saying? If the church isn't pursuing to live in the oneness and harmony that we have with God and that we have with each other, and if it's not pursuing not to be offensive to the world and to the outside world that doesn't know the Lord, but living in the right manner, and then pursuing us growing in that and changing in that, because nobody in the room is anywhere close to being perfect in that. That's the word of God. That's the truth. We're all in the sanctification process. We all need to grow. I need to confess. Do you need to confess? Raise your hand if you need to confess. Okay, the rest of you, I don't know. What? Okay? Because we can mark it down and God would know. By the end of today, you probably have a couple of things you need to confess and repent over. Okay? Because God is at work in our life changing us and becoming more like the Lord and living holy and righteous. And even if you don't know it in your mind, and even if you don't understand it in your mind, God's still at work in you. Because it really isn't to your own understanding that we walk in. It's that we don't lean on our own understanding and trust God. And that if we just acknowledge Him, He will set our paths straight. And I can't accept that my paths are straight in my own understanding. Because I'm not to lean on that. I'm to understand that God is going to keep working out that until I go and meet the Lord. That's just the truth of it. But you see what He's talking about today. You see what God's word is promoting to us today. If you are the Lord's, this is what we see. We see us pursuing peace with all men, and we see us pursuing sanctification. Not perfection. This is what we see if you're the Lord's. Now, I don't know the things harm that. Things get in the way of that. Growth, change, seeking holy living, pursuing to be at peace with all men. That's what you see in Christians, because that's what God is doing. We could say it in another way and say, and they are loving one another. That's identifying mark. This is another way to say what we said in Sunday school today in your illustration. But it would be like God to say it like 100 times over because that's about the time I got it. You see, to live in peace, we need to pursue it and we need to grow, and that's normal. When it's happening, people see the transforming work of Christ, and that's our goal, that's our purpose. Is for people to see. Now, with that said, that on our heart, let me ask the ushers to come forward. Josh, were you going to play some music during communion? Yeah, thank you. So the ushers, go ahead and come forward. We're going to partake in communion together. So we put this on our heart, we put this on our mind, and we've been going through the understanding of God's word, what the command, and what God has called us to live in peace. And each one of us needs to grow, and each of us needs to change, but we want to embrace what God is doing. I've said that many times as we went through all this. But with all of this on our heart, let's take communion together. And I want to emphasize that. I want you to think about that for a moment. Communion, remembering the Lord Jesus Christ who brought our lives into union with Him, and in union with God and His Word, we have peace with God. We're remembering Christ. That's what He did. We talked about that weeks ago. We're remembering the Lord that brought us to a place that we are at peace with God, and our lives have been brought in union and oneness and harmony with God and His Word. We're battling to live it. We have to deal with ourselves to apply it. But it's a sanctifying work that God is doing. But communion together with Christ, Christ in you and you in Christ. In communion, we're remembering the Lord Jesus who brought our lives in union and oneness with each other. By the power of God, a divine work. That's what He's done. We are to examine our lives as we take communion, that we are in communion with God through Christ or with Christ, and we are actually in communion with each other by the power of God in our salvation. To live in a oneness and a unity that God has created us to be in this life. To live in that peace. Right before we take communion, I want to ask you guys, Ken, are you going to pray for the bread? Okay. Before we pray for the bread, I just want to read to you Isaiah 52, verse 7 through 10. And then, Ken, I'll have you pray for the bread and we're going to take it together. Okay? God's word in Isaiah 52, 7 through 10. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who bring good news, who announce peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared His holy arm in the sight of all nations. that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Let's pray for the bread.
Our Heavenly Father, as we meet around the communion table, help us to really understand what the peace is with our neighbors and with you, and help us through these emblems to come closer to that standard because of the peace you gave us through the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the first communion, Christ broke the bread and he gave it, he passed it out, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me, for my body has been given for you." So we do this in remembrance. We do it together in remembrance of the Lord Jesus, with the focus on the peace that he brought us, the peace that we have with God and that we have with each other. Let's take it. James, will you pray for the cup?
Father, as we approach this cup, we would just ask for your help that that you've commanded us to do this in remembrance of you. So we ask for your help that we'd remember what you've done for us, the sacrifices that you've made for us. And as we look at the cup, we remember the blood that was sacrificed, and just would ask again that you would help us to accept the forgiveness that comes from that sacrifice. We'd also just look at what that forgiveness means in our lives, and that we're also to forgive those around us, and that would ultimately help us to live in this peace that we're called to. We live, just pray these things in your name.
In John's Gospel, John 3:16, we're pretty familiar with the verse where God sent his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. And it says this is the way that God loved the world. And then as we take communion, we really are in a shared common life with Christ in the sense of that the new life we have is in Christ. And that Christ, being the Son of God, emptied of himself, came down in the form of man, a bondservant, submitted himself to the most wretched thing that the humanity could go through on this earth, shame and physical pain and suffering, and to the point where he shed his blood, to the point of death, death on the cross. And he chose to, on behalf of us who would believe in him, so we wouldn't perish and have everlasting life. When we remember Christ and the blood shed and all that it represents and did, it's God reflecting to us that God came and became a human and gave his life for you to have life with him by grace alone. It's a humbling thing, isn't it? For he didn't have to. He wanted to. He wanted us to know him. Me and you, your kids, us. He wanted us to know him. He wanted us to know him now and all the way through eternity. So he came and he gave his life. So we do this in remembrance of you, Christ, and what you did. Let's take together. So as we close our service in prayer, let's make it a worship time for all of us. I'm going to lead us in prayer, but in your heart and mind, wherever you're at with the Lord, whatever's on your heart, whatever your thoughts are, whatever those are here as we come to worship and exalt the Lord in his name and his word, we're applying our minds to this, Lord, and wanting you to lead and guide us by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to be all the comfort that God brings to all of us, help, aid, encouragement, change, direction, escape from temptation, whatever it might be. It's a lot of things with a lot of people in the room. But let's go before the Lord in humility together and seek his face. Seek him and who he is and lay out your heart to him where you're at right there. Will our God not answer in his sovereignty, in his providence, in his work, but he will. So Lord, we bow together before you today, just as this little simple church family that really seek, Lord, in our heart to honor you, to live for you, not to be exalted ourselves or be highly thought of or to have prestige or any of that, Lord. We all have to deal with that. All of us know that we do, and we want to, Lord. We want to come in humility, recognizing that you have called us, that you have saved us, you have put us together. Providence of God, as much as having Ruth go glean that day in Boaz's field, for you to bring about your plan and purposes, Lord, you have met us, you have brought us together, you are at work by your providence in our lives. Through some very difficult and challenging things, through some things that none of us would pick, and none of us really even think we deserve, and none of us even want for each other, Lord, but what we want to do is we want to weep, mourn, have compassion with those that are struggling in the things that they have in their life. Not in haughtiness, not in thinking better of ourselves, Lord, but just recognizing that in everything, in all that's going on, you have never left us or forsaken us. And your plan and purpose will be brought about. It will be accomplished. It cannot be stopped because you are God. And that wherever we're at, Lord, that you will guide and lead us to one step at a time in this journey. It doesn't matter where. We just want to all be on the road walking with you, Lord. And we celebrate that and thank you for that. Lord, and in each one of our lives, whatever we lift up to you, whether if it's worry or anxiety or job or physicalness or whatever it might be. We're open, Lord, for you using the body of Christ to bring the comfort to one another that only you can do through us. We're desiring to lay our lives down for people to see Christ and for us to minister to each other. It's there, Lord. It's a work in progress, but there. Whether it be our children or our friends or our grandparents, Lord, we lift them up to you and ask that you would pierce their heart with the truth of Christ and bring them to a relationship with the Lord and then grow us in our love for Christ each and every day. That's our desire, for us to love Christ. Truly. We're so grateful that we can gather today and worship you and lift up your name and be together, because we've received the mercy and grace of God that we can. So we thank you and praise you for this day in Christ's name. Amen. We are dismissed.